15-10, 5-4-3-2-1, touchdown Florida State, touchdown FSU!
Hi, this is Jeff Colhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. The new college football season begins for the Noles in just a few weeks. Join us all season long on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning. This is Jonathan Owens and
Josh Newby
filling in for Andrew McKay on 92.3 this morning. News Talk Radio, 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. How are you doing this morning, Josh?
You know, I'm good. I've been looking forward to this all week. I know the audience out there has been looking forward to this.
Have you been, hyping this up?
This all week. Yeah. I have unintentionally been hyping this up to people, mainly because I've been telling them that I'm either going to be late to work or, you know, I need someone to drop off my kid at school. And they say, why? I say, oh, you know, little thing known as local radio for 4 hours starting right at 5 a.m. So a couple people have said they'd tune in, though I wouldn't assume they're tuning in quite this early.
Well, it is early. Even for PJ, who does this every day. We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, it is quite early.
Yes, yes. Fortunately, we are not sitting on Interstate 10.
Yeah, Interstate 10 is backed up right now between Pine Forest and Highway 29 as you're heading eastbound, so just be aware of that. Apparently there's some road construction happening this morning, so just pack your patience or pick a different route.
Well, Josh, what would you like to cover?
You know,
there's so many exciting things going on.
Well, this is early voting week.
Yes.
For those of you who are lucky enough to live in a district that either has a primary, or if you're a part of a party that is having a primary. We were talking earlier this week about the sort of sordid case of local Republican primaries, and you're a registered Republican. I am not.
Yeah.
What's your perspective on it?
You are not. Well, you can say what you are.
I'm a registered Democrat. I've been a registered Democrat since the year of our Lord 2014. I believe that's right. Yes, 2014.
Well, there's a lot of exciting things going on here locally, regionally, statewide, and nationally as far as races going on. We can start with the governor's race. It's kind of like a special primary that we had for CD1. There's a whole lot of folks in that race.
Yes.
With all different varying flavors of conservatism or not.
Runs the spectrum.
Yeah, and some folks that feel this, from my perspective, my opinion, that they're kind of, well, I'm heir apparent.
Yes, heir apparent.
You know.
I think that phrase will come up a lot this morning.
Yes, heir apparent, and some folks within our party have also seemed to endorse the heir apparent.
Yes.
And I'm not a fan of that. I'm really not,
I'm not a fan of
endorsing prior to a primary. I mean, obviously we're two different sides of the political fence, if you will. And to have the Republican Party of Florida just get all in when there's so many people in the race, you know, because
It strikes me as quite tacky, frankly, to preempt the electorate in that way. And I saw this when I helped with the Stephen Specht campaign, who ran against Matt Gaetz originally, again, back in 2016. And I found that the Democratic Party was largely feckless and wanted to simply sustain the status quo. And they had gotten quite cocky over the years, because Florida, famously purple state, you know, Miami-Dade, Broward County, Orlando, Tampa area, all very solidly Democrat. And they just got cocky. And I think that has happened to the Republican Party. You see what happened to the Democrat Party of Florida, where they lost their power. They cannot organize. They're absolutely useless at turning out the vote. And
tell us how you really feel.
I'm not a fan of the Florida Democratic Party, but I see a lot of parallels between the Florida Democrat Party of, say, 2014 to 2016 and the Florida Republican Party now. Do you worry, Jonathan, that your party has become too comfortable in power and too cocky with their constituents?
Yes.
Okay, say more.
Post-COVID, normally locally we reference our time frames in hurricanes, but when it comes to politics, I think we can reference pre and post COVID. Mm-hmm. Post COVID has really in Florida, DeSantis did a good job keeping us open, and you know, he also felt a little bit entitled to, you know, run for president unsuccessfully, and I think we're there with what you said. I think we're there as a party. We're there as a state. We champion, oh, well, there's more Republicans in the state of Florida than there ever has been.
Right.
You know, all this mass migration, it's happened rapidly since COVID. And I will agree with you. I think we're a little bit arrogant. Like there's, oh, nobody can mess with any of the,
right,
in any of the races here, 'cause we're all Republicans, right, here in Florida. Well, I don't think that's the case. It's going to be interesting to see, who comes out of this primary, the winner going into the general. And, you know, David Jolly's gonna have a wide open platform.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'll see of all the folks that have moved here, how many Republicans show up to vote to keep it a red state. I think David Jolly's going to have a lot of moderate, yeah, Republicans that, yeah, he had previously had support from when he was, mm-hmm, a Republican.
Right.
yes. Now moved to the Democratic
Florida party. Has a way of doing that. Charlie Crist comes
Charlie
to
Crist,
mind.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I do want to issue our first of, I'm sure, many on-air corrections. Noted Josh Newby critic Andrew McKay texted in to say that everyone votes in Escambia, superintendent plus three school boards. Thank you, Andrew, for that note. I obviously have not early voted, nor have I looked at my ballot. I like to vote on actual voting day. But yes, that's true. Everyone in Escambia County has the opportunity.
We are leaving PJ hanging.
No, I was just going to tell Andrew to go back to bed.
Oh my God, that's exactly what I texted back. Go back. What are you doing up?
It's enjoy. Vacation.
Big Brother's looking out for us.
He always is. Is
Thanks,
he here?
Andrew.
Is he in studio with us?
Like a little spider in the corner of the room watching, mm-hmm, us. PJ, traffic? Yes? Still?
Yes. So I-10.
Still? There's still traffic.
Still I-10 eastbound as you're heading past Pine Forest, and before you get to Highway 29, we're still seeing quite a bit of a backup due to some road construction this morning. Apparently, there's a lane shift that's happening. So just find a different route if you can. I'm PJ with your traffic on the sevens.
Sevens. Normally, we don't do traffic this early.
No.
Consistently, but unless it's on Interstate 10, right?
Right.
So Josh.
Yeah.
What else did Big Brother tell us we needed to
That's
cover
all he
one?
Said. Okay. Hopefully he... Oh, no. Let's see.
There's more instruction from Andrew.
Oh, he's driving to the Springs. Okay. Or a Springs. Oh, okay. Good, okay. Good for Andrew. I'm glad that he's having fun. He fully deserves his week off. And I'm glad that he's tuning in, you know, not listening to a podcast or a book or talking to his wife.
Well,
he's listening to his best friends.
He is Mr. Show Prep, so he's probably prepping for next week.
Always
when he's back in action. I'm sure he's excited about the upcoming primary as well. So he's priming it up.
What do you think of the CD1 primary going on right now? I know.
Oh wow! How can I say this? CD1 primary going on. I think it's interesting. We got a three-way race.
Uh-huh.
John Frankman has been, you know, consistent.
Yeah.
And in his message throughout the whole time, and it's going to be an uproad battle for him. I mean, yeah, obviously he's going against a sitting incumbent, mm-hmm, with very strong brand recognition from, mm-hmm, being, you know, former CFO of the state of Florida. Jim Patronis is our CD1 representative right now.
But who was himself the heir apparent?
Yes.
Anointed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens sometimes here.
No. No, it wouldn't.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see Chico being in a race too, making it a three-way race.
Yeah.
How is that going to affect you know, the non-Patronus votes? Is it going to how much is it going to take away from Frankman?
They are both obviously touting their Trump bona fides, and I'm curious if you think the Trump influence is waning on local Republican politics. I only see what I see on social media or talking to Republican friends, of course, whatever the algorithm feeds me, or talking to Republican friends. But the friends I talk to are tired of local candidates who are supposedly championing local issues, basically trying to out loyalty each other to Trump.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
My wife received 9 mailers from a candidate. A pack for a candidate. Mm. Every one of them had an image of Trump on it. And Trump, yes, is he aware of Pensacola? I mean, there's a little blue angel sitting on his desk thanks to Jim Petronas.
Yes. You
know? So he's aware, but I mean, how aware? Just riding on someone else's coattails is just that's just a problem for me. That's not going to make me vote that way, but I guess I'm not the normal average consumer of political.
Unfortunately, not.
It's going to be interesting to see how do I think the challengers to Jimmy are going to pull it off. Hopefully, optimistic that they'll do well, but I don't think they'll move past Jimmy just because, like I said, brand recognition. Yeah. The incumbent, you automatically get 6 points when you're the incumbent. I think Jimmy's going to have this one pretty handily in the bag.
I think he is, which is, yeah, you know, I have my own thoughts on that. I think there is something to be said for being friendly with the president, to mm-hmm. having been in the Oval Office, to have that direct line of communication. Matt Gaetz as well,
sure,
was very good friends with the president, and that has benefited us locally. Base closures comes to mind. There's a range of issues that it helps to have the president's ear on. I just wish they had some local purchase as well. I wish that Trump did not continue to dominate our local politics 10 years later. And maybe that's just a wish that's simply never going to come true. I was just curious if you thought that his influence locally was waning.
I do think it's waning. I mean, you're after the midterms, you're downhill slide on his second term.
Do you think people are just kind of tired of it? They've been inundated for 10 years with this type of, you know, vociferous adversarial politic, and they're just kind of over the general style? Or do you think it is a policy thing? Do you think that people see Trump's posture towards, you know, our international allies, the local economy is not doing great? Why do you think his influence is waning?
I mean, the Trump brand has been around since I was a kid, right? I mean, you've heard Trump throughout. When little kids recognize who Trump was when he ran the first time, before he was actually, you know, the president early on. It's such a strong brand. I don't know that we're going to come back from the super contentious us versus them kind of thing, and the demeaning aspect of that Trump has with folks that he doesn't like today, which he might like tomorrow. I don't see us coming back from that, just because, you know, division mm-hmm. creates opportunities, and
it does.
The more division that we have in politics, the more opportunities it creates for the folks that are in power,
right?
Will after these midterms are over and we have a new governor, will we see the races start for president, right? Because you're in perpetual campaign mode.
Yes.
Will it be a calmer, you know, rhetoric? I don't think so. I think it's going to be just as Trump-esque as it has been for the past 10 years.
And I don't want to spend too long talking about Trump. Last thing I'll say about the national stage is that if it's Rubio, I think we might return to a calmer Republican politic.
Rubio's everywhere.
And
he's everything to everybody, right?
Yes, yes. He can be whatever you want him to
he's
be.
He's like Mikey. Mikey likes it. Send in Marco.
Yes. Well, I know we need to take a break. PJ.
All right, PJ.
Back to you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer at a beverage manufacturing plant, he starts his day knowing every line is ready to run. Because Grainger delivers the industrial-grade products he needs to keep mixers, conveyors, and packaging equipment moving. With Grainger's vast selection of bearings, belts, and motors, he keeps operations running smoothly, so nothing grinds to a halt. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't know about you, but for me, every time I've ever had to buy a car, it's basically been an unpleasant experience. Except one. That one was when I bought from Frontier Motors. And I'll tell you why. Because we went there just trying to test drive a car. We weren't going to buy it. We knew what we needed. Well, we wanted to test drive it to make sure it's what we wanted. When we actually had to replace our Dodge Caravan, maybe about 6 months later, well, they had the Honda Odyssey. It was really hard to find at this particular time to drive one. They had the color we wanted. They had the trim level we wanted. We wound up negotiating a little bit on the price, and we bought it. When we weren't really looking. Why? Because they had the exact thing we wanted. It was a great car with like 13,000 miles, and it was a year old, came back from a lease in Orlando. They bought it at auction, and it was just easy. I didn't have to tell anybody my life story. I didn't have to get passed around from this person to that person. All the normal nonsense that you go through in buying cars, didn't have to deal with that. Great quality used cars for excellent prices, and they follow up with you after because they want to make sure you're happy. Like, they treat you like you want to be treated, whereas I know a lot of times when you deal with cars, it's icky, right? Well, don't do that. Go to Frontier. Check out the great selection, about 300 good quality cars and trucks on the lot at any given time, and find out why it's different. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises: roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
So we were talking right before we came back on news, of course, of Crystal Bell Riviera's resignation as Escambia County Library Director. You know, all this pomp and circumstance and controversy that led to her eventual hiring, only for her to resign a couple months later. It seems like the news of the controversy and the public consciousness had just sort of started to die down. And of course, now, you know, it's front page news in the PNJ. Do you think that the public being reminded of this is going to influence the Vincent Hofberger race?
I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
I think so. I mean, again, we talk about social media and the algorithm, whatever it feeds us. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you created something.
Yes.
Accidentally brought back into the spotlight.
Yep. And now the ECSO investigation into Ronnie, right. Internal investigation. Yeah.
Anything associated with what previous controversy is all comes back to
even if
to
it's
light.
Not, I mean, even if it's sort of indirectly related, right? It's not like Crystal is running for a county commission, but people still tie her name
right.
to Hofberger. And I think, honestly, at least from where I'm sitting, even though Wes Moreno sort of threw himself on the sword, Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno, I still think people tie that, quote unquote, and you know, nepotism or cravenism to Hofberger more than to Moreno.
Probably so.
Of course, she's the elected official, right?
Right,
so
right.
So people are mad about it. Yes,
right,
people are mad about it. That this is how they can exact their revenge.
She's front and center, right, on anything having to do with the Board of County Commissioners.
Right. Literally. She's literally front and center. Right? Yes.
It'll be interesting how it affects the general. I mean, that race is, we're months away, but I mean,
it seems like just as it dies down though, something else will does. Like, I'm sure right before the election, you know, ECSO will release their findings or something on the, I'm reminded of, James Comey's, announcement of investigation into Hillary Clinton days before the 2016 election. Right.
Right.
This is on that same level, Jonathan. same exact scale. It's perfectly parallel.
Oh my goodness. The fact that that is on the same parallel here in local
first
politics.
First Gambie County, yeah.
First Gambie County is it's, could we do better?
We haven't.
We should.
How long you been living here?
Right, my life,
we
my
haven't.
Entire life.
We haven't done better.
Can we do better?
Yeah.
Hey, if it keeps people focused and engaged on politics.
That's true.
I'm all about it.
Amen. Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby filling in for Andrew McKay.
With PJ. Send us there, man.
Yes, and News Radio 92.3.
Gianna Gelosi accused United Healthcare CEO killer Luigi Mangione going to be back in federal court. He's expected to plead guilty to federal stalking charges without a plea deal on the table. Fox's Brian Yenis tells us why.
So if Mangione pleads guilty to federal crimes, a legal fight could then play out over the fate of the New York State case. The Manhattan DA's office would have to successfully argue that the federal stalking charges are different enough from the state's second-degree murder charges to move forward.
Democratic senators are concerned about the USS Abraham Lincoln at sea for nearly 9 months supporting operations in the Middle East.
Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal raising concerns of supply shortages, water contamination, plumbing issues, and deteriorating mental health in a letter to Secretary Hegseth.
It's Fox's Jackie Heinrich. The Navy sending the USS George Washington to relieve the Lincoln. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 78 degrees here across the area. We'll get a full look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. We are seeing some backups already this morning at this early hour on I-10 between 29 and Pine Forest. Appears to be some type of a backup due to some early morning construction work there. We'll be watching that here throughout the morning. A man has died after a shooting on Thursday at Showalter Park in Century. Deputies say they arrived last night about 6:30 to find that man with gunshot wounds. He was pronounced dead at the scene. A second victim later showed up at a nearby hospital in Jay with a gunshot wound to the leg. There's no known suspects at this time. The investigation is ongoing. Santa Rosa County Crime Stoppers says its anonymous tip program, Speak Out, has helped to prevent more than 15 student suicides in the past 8 years. The program was launched after the Parkland shooting. It lets students, staff, and parents submit anonymous tips about weapons, drugs, or concerning behavior. Program officials say that the tips have grown from a few hundred a year to several every day. Superintendent Karen Barber says the program has proven to be life-saving and credits it with getting help to a student in crisis before it was too late. If you or somebody you know is struggling, the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7 or by calling or texting 988. Well, it's a first in Florida. Chris Bryan says it is happening in Santa Rosa County.
Santa Rosa County students will see something new this fall, a Native American Studies curriculum. And it's a first of its kind in Florida. P&J reports the lessons were developed with members of the Lower Muscogee tribe who helped shape everything from cultural storytelling to 3D virtual environments and hands-on farming activities. The curriculum took a year and a half to build and give students a look at the history and the impact of the Southeastern Native Americans. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
We're We're going to be seeing a hot day today with a heat advisory in place, high near 96 degrees, 20% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Saturday, 40% chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms, high near 95 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Keeping a 40% chance of rain on your Sunday with a high near 94 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 80 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Murray with your money now. Apple CEO Tim Cook was joined by Trump administration officials yesterday, including Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick, to open a new manufacturing facility in Houston. CNBC reports that the facility is also where Apple will manufacture Mac Mini desktop computers later this year. U.S. ride-hailing giant Uber is ramping up its global robo-taxi coverage with operator Pony.ai. The company said they plan to deploy 2,000 of Pony.ai's self-driving taxis across Europe and expand the robo-taxi partnership to the Middle East. The companies did not name the cities or share an exact time frame. Reddit shares rose 11% on the social media company's inclusion in the S&P 500. Officials say the company will join the index on August 18th, replacing Avalon Bay Communities. CNBC reports that companies often see their stocks climb when they're added to major indexes because fund managers who trace the benchmarks have to buy shares to match the changes. Futures are mixed. That's your money now.
My name is Trey McMullen, and I'm running to be your state representative, not Tallahassee's. District 2 isn't just another district. It's an engine. Families, veterans, first responders, teachers, and small businesses are the fuel that keeps it running. But every engine needs a spark plug. That's the role I intend to play. Not powered by PAC money, not directed by special interests. Powered by the people of District 2. My mission isn't just to pass laws. It's to connect veterans with resources, connect employers with workers, connect families with opportunity, and to ensure your voice, not a lobbyist, is heard in Tallahassee. On day one, I'll hit the ground running to deliver real, measurable results. Because District 2 deserves a representative that works for the people, not the PACs. Vote McMullen this Republican primary.
Paid for and approved by Trey McMullen Campaign for Florida House, District 2, Republican.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I will appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
You're already listening.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
So you might as well stay smart all day.
It's the Pensacola Morning News.
From Pensacola Morning News in the morning to pep talk with Meg in mid-morning, and VR late morning to afternoon, you do it from 2 to 4, and Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin through your drive home. News that moves with you all day long.
All day long.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
This is great. This is great protest music for our next segment, which is very protest based. We're going to talk about flock cameras, which has become a big issue locally, especially in the mayoral race. You have people I don't think you have anyone particularly strongly pro flock. You have candidates who are like okay with Flock, and then you have candidates who are just vituperatively anti-Flock. And so I did some research on this, Jonathan, on dflock.com, which is, you know, an aggregate for all of the Flock public records that are out there. There's about 100 Flock cameras in what we would generally consider the greater Pensacola area. And of course, they say these things do not track, right? But if it takes a picture here, and then it takes a picture there, and then it takes a picture there, it is functionally tracking you, right?
Right.
I don't accept arguments to the contrary that it's not functionally a tracking thing. And on dflock.com, you can go to the particular agency and you can search via public record the reasons every time there has been a Flock query from a local law enforcement officer. And of course, the reasoning, if you go to the Flock website or if you listen to law enforcement officers, is always like kidnapping cases, right? Or missing and endangered persons. Like, you know, your kid gets kidnapped. You know, I don't care about public surveillance. Surveil everybody. Find my kid.
Right.
Well, I went back to March 16th of 2026 is the furthest back they had. You know how many times quote, missing an endangered person was the rationale given for a query?
How many?
2 out of hundreds of queries. So 2.
What was the highest?
Missing and endangered persons. Just general petty crime, you know, tracking criminals, which again is fine, but it is the mass surveillance component of this that I just do not see as constitutional, as ethical, or as something that, frankly, anyone should support. Supreme Court recently ruled on a similar case, not the exact same, but the Chatry case. I'm quoting from Justice Kagan here for the majority. An individual, quote, an individual has a reasonable expectation of privacy in records about his cell phone's location, and police intrude on what constitutionally protected interest when they demand the information, even though only for a limited time and from a third-party tech company. And as you were saying before we came on the air, the argument for pro-Flock is always, well, you have a GPS tracker on your person at all times, you know, police could pull those records. And as we were saying, okay, but I choose this. I am aware that I'm giving myself over.
When you blindly agree to the end user license agreement that no one reads, that you have given up your rights to any sort of privacy. And we're going to take your information and use it for whatever we want to use it for.
Right.
Here's your free app.
I have to have a tag on my car legally, right? I do not have to have a cell phone. I'm choosing this. I am volunteering my information. I am volunteering my data. I'm not volunteering my car's location at every hour of the day in the same way. And I was expecting you and I to disagree about this because I think it's very interesting how political affiliations have sort of swapped on this issue. A lot of Republicans support Flock because of their support of law enforcement. A lot of Democrats are against it. But you pleasantly surprised me with your libertarian libertarian self.
Well, as you follow local politics, there's a young man that's shown up to Pensacola City Council as well as the Board of County Commission talking about his recent experience with his red light camera ticket.
Yes.
Jacob Rockwell.
Uh-huh.
And he got a lot of traffic and a lot of views off his snarky his snarky comments to the city council. And, you know, I've been kind of following that a little bit. You know, okay, great. My car, whoever may have been driving it at the moment, was here or there. That doesn't mean I was here or there. So you and I are on the same page when it comes to Flock cameras and license plate readers or red light cameras or anything else like that. If I am guilty or accused to be guilty of doing something, I need that accuser to be a human.
Yes.
You know, I saw you or someone saw you doing something and an officer was involved in the investigation on whatever that was that I did.
Right.
Not some AI driven database, you know, it kind of throws to Minority Report, right?
Right. If you're pre-crime.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pre-crime. Well, you know, you've been at this location for the past 6 months based on what the database says. Well, that's surveillance.
And you know, can and you cannot tell me, you know, it, there's this phenomenon where everybody hates Congress, but everybody loves their congressman, right? Everybody is severely judgmental of other of cops and law enforcement agencies in other communities, but everybody's very supportive of their local one, you know. But it seems like news is coming out every day of law enforcement agencies across the country abusing this software. You know, pulling it to track ex-girlfriends or whatever.
Well, I mean, I think that's been going on a long time, just depending on who the database.
You right.
Know, that there's been someone that has access to a database that they shouldn't or that they legally should have access to it, but using it for the wrong reasons. And, I mean, that's been going on prior to this. So
and Charles Baer, God love him, has floated this issue many times at city council. And I sort of agree with him. Like, sure, you have to give a rationale. Sure, these queries are audited. But by the time you realize that Officer Smith has been tracking his ex-girlfriend for 2 weeks, it's too late.
Right.
Why put this tool or this service into the hands of very fallible humans? Because they make mistakes. Cops make mistakes. I like our law enforcement community. But they are as biased and as beholden to human foibles as we are, and I just deflock Pensacola. You know, I do like on there have been several campaign billboards that have popped up that say you know, smile, you're on the mayor's flock camera system, and I do wonder if that's going to have an effect on the mayoral race.
I don't think it will.
You don't think so? Whoa, really?
I don't think it will. People get hyper-focused on, you know, whatever their particular issue is and show up and speak about that.
Uh-huh.
I referenced Jacob with his red light camera, and kudos to him.
Yeah.
I appreciate people showing up, right, and coming to speak about those things. But as far as it affecting a race, you know, specifically like the mayor's race, you know as well as I do, branding mm-hmm. is what keeps people focused on you. And DC's done a lot and been in the news a lot. Heard a politician tell another politician, as long as you're in the newspaper, just make sure they're spelling your name right, mm-hmm. or whatever press you're, make sure they're spelling your name mm-hmm. right, whether it's good or bad.
All press is good press.
All press is good press. So do I think that that's going to affect the race? I mean, who are the other candidates? I don't live in the city.
Right, neither do I.
So who are the other candidates that would have a shot of actually taking down?
Well, pretty much all of the you have Alicia Trawick, you have Ann Hill. I mean, pretty much all of the candidates have come out as anti-Flock, and a lot of the candidates are using Flock in their campaign materials. I will defer to you, of course, because you have experience with this. You know, you were famously Commissioner Underhill's aide, so you got more public feedback, shall we say, than most laymen, and you saw, you know, how that impacts the local process. It's interesting to me, though. You think Crystal Bell Riviera is going to impact Hofberger's chances for reelection? You don't think Flock will be a challenge for Mayor Reeves's reelection?
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Speculate, though, Jonathan. It's so fun to speculate.
Yeah, it is.
That's what we're here to do.
Well, I mean, just the two names that you mentioned both have very strong name brand recognition mm-hmm. from one and being a previous right, elected official, yep. and Trawick's, you know, local family brand has been yep. around for a while for the folks that live here, which kind of brings me to another point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are new to the area that don't recognize previous elected officials or, you know, older family names that have been here. You know, DC touts, you know, all the growth and great things that have happened yeah. in the city of Pensacola. And to his credit, there's a lot of mm-hmm. stuff that's happened since he's been there. But, you know, there's a lot of new people that live in the city that really don't have any kind of historical. Okay, well, Anne, for example, she was a previous city council person.
So what?
So, I mean, yeah. they don't necessarily know. All they know is, again, back to whatever the algorithms feed them from a social media standpoint or what news station they pay attention to, local news,
right,
whether it's 1620 or whether it's, you know, Channel 3 or if they read in the P&J. So it all comes back to how much money you spend on branding and reaching out to the new voters that are here. We're in election season, primary. That's really important for candidates to pay attention to all of the new voters so mm-hmm. they can get their message to them. So
I do think Mayor Reeves will win, but I do think he is challenged in a way, or he's vulnerable, I should say, in a way that most incumbents are not. I think he has done good things. I support him. I did not vote for him the first time, but I do support him. But he's done just enough. He's made just enough hard decisions. You know, the Bluffs, Malcolm Young, you know, Palafox. I understand Palafox, and I understand why that happened. A lot of people don't, and they think that it was just a beautification project for downtown. And I think, personally, I feel that Flock might just be the final nail in the coffin for people. But, you know, to your point, people have short attention spans. There might be an edge of the electorate for whom Flock is their issue, but then, you know, everybody else, what do they retain? I don't know.
Right. They retain what they drive to work and see every day.
Right. Which is
back. You were referencing back when I was working with the Board of County Commissioners. That's the number one thing, how someone's drive to work, what they're affected with. Now, if they received a red light ticket or if, you know, Flock has affected them
right before they vote,
yep, that will probably be an issue for them. But, you know, are there potholes on
right.
the road where I drive? How's the traffic? Is there construction on Interstate 10 or 110? Is, you know, how's my experience going to and from where I make my bones?
Right.
And what's it look like? Right.
Right.
From a beautification standpoint, I mean, Palafox looks fantastic.
It does. Credit to him.
They are digging it back up again in yep. some spots. So
we got to take a break. This is Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.
PJ. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The Subaru Lot to Love event is going on now at Anderson Subaru, which brings special summer savings to some of our most in-demand Subaru models, Ascent, Outback, and Crosstrek. Right now, get 0.9% financing for 75 months on Ascent models with flexible seating for up to 8 passengers. Or how about 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the completely redesigned Outback? That's 75-month financing on Ascent and Outbacks. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on the versatile Subaru Crosstrek. Low rates and long terms on the most reliable and most loved cars around. Discover new places to love during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Going on now through August 31st at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives, jobs, 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 affordability and housing, neighborhood revitalization, and education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice. Colonel Eric W. Shorter for mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter, candidate for mayor of Pensacola.
Sportsman's Night Out is back September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center featuring bass fishing legend Hank Parker. Tickets are only $10 and can win you prizes like hunting trips, weapons, a brand new camper, a tractor, four-wheeler, a brand new car, and so much more. Brought to you by partners like Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Benton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church. For more information, visit sportsmansnightout.com. That's Sportsman's Night Out September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Erin Eiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard, and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Eiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Nicewanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Nicewanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Such a long intro.
I know, but it's good.
It is. Oh, I love the song. I always think it's about to start, like, oh, wait, there's one more.
You've got your air guitar ready to go.
Or you're ahead of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This is Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby.
Filling in.
We're both going to do it in stereo.
Let's just do it together. Filling in for Andrew McKay. On the Pensacola Morning News. We were just talking about the mayoral race in Pensacola. Reddit r/Pensacola did a AMA and Ask Me Anything with all of the mayoral candidates who agreed to do it. And it was interesting reading through those. Most of them are about what you'd expect. A lot of focus on housing, a lot of focus on Flock, a lot of focus on the Bluffs, et cetera, et cetera. What struck me, though, was Jasmine Brown, who is the socialist running for mayor of Pensacola.
Is she a Democratic socialist or just a socialist?
DSA, baby. And it, you know, I applaud her. This is an uphill battle. She will not win. But you know, she's been very polite. She has put forth her message in an articulate and easily digestible way. And I applaud her for running. I don't think she stands a chance in Pensacola, even though the city of Pensacola tends to run more liberal than the larger county. I don't think we're quite there yet to having a socialist for mayor. But this brings up something that I just have to get off my chest as a Democrat.
Let's hear it.
Which is the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, incursion into the Democratic Party, which I love. I am a liberal at heart. I believe that Democrats are when they are at their best, they are the party of the working class. But the DSA and the socialists' incursion into the Democratic Party strikes me as the most elitist, overeducated segment of the Democratic Party, and I hate how they are controlling the conversation, be it around identity politics, be it around Israel, be it around Ukraine. I mean, you know, Jasmine Brown, bless her heart, she invoked Palestine in her bid for mayor of Pensacola. I'm not sure what that topic has to do with local politics, but long way to say that I think that there is a conversation to be had about the working class. I think there is a conversation to be had about unions and attainable housing and, you know, worker-led initiatives and all these sort of bread and butter topics that are traditional in the Socialist Party. But invoking Palestine or invoking Ukraine or talking about identity politics is not the way to win a local election, or is it? And this is what I was going to ask you. As the Republicans become more focused on culture war issues and have left, you know, statewide insurance reform, for example, to sort of dangle in the wind here, do you feel that the Republican Party has been similarly taken over by culture war mongrels?
Again, this goes back to what we were talking about with division. There's opportunity in chaos, and without division, you don't have, you know, you were talking about Democrats. I mean, the from a racial standpoint, you've got, you know, folks that have created a lifetime, lots, very large wealth off of, you know, race, you know, racism in one way or another.
Sure, both ways.
Sharpton. Yeah. So to invoke national level topics in a mayor's race is, I mean, I think you're...
Does it work, though?
I don't think it works. I don't think it works.
I hope it doesn't work.
I mean, to me, again, but my wife tells me all the time, she's like, stop trying to apply how you think to everyone else.
Sure.
Just the general folks that barely pay attention to politics, that don't necessarily know who their local representatives are, would it work for them if it was on a mailer or an email or a text message? Maybe.
Yeah.
Because they may pay attention to national politics more than they do local. Oh, well, you know, this... Ms. Brown is, you know, she aligns with me on where I feel about, you know, the national politics.
Right.
And it might work. I just think that's a very small segment. So
agreed. I'll close by just quoting The Economist here real quickly. The next governor or any elected official will have to focus more on costs than on culture. And I agree with that.
Yep.
This is Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.